Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Hi, and welcome. I'm Dr. Faye, your host, and I am absolutely feeling blessed that you have chosen to join me today in this teaching. We are poised to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring to you messages of hope and inspiration and encourage you wherever you are around the world. What a privilege it is just to be able to do this using technology. It's an amazing, amazing gift that God has graced us with. And I am one who believes that the purpose for this technology is to reach people and to teach people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it's used for many things, but we want to use it for the good, and that is to change lives. So welcome again. Thank you for being here. For those of you who have tuned in before, I did a teaching on this fear report, the emotion report, actually. It was the state of our emotions report. And I wanted to come back and do another part of that teaching today because I didn't quite finish it. You know, there are times you just know that you're not done, that there's a part two or a part three. So as you tune in today, I want you to be ready to be released from the spirit of fear, the spirit of anxiety, the spirit of timidity, that spirit of just feeling low. We want to lift you up and bring out the true self of yourself that's hidden in Christ Jesus. So listen today, and as we begin this teaching, as you remember, I talked to you about the fact that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. And you'll find that scripture there. And it is one of my favorite scriptures because at a time when everything in my life seemed to have been spiraling downward, and that has happened more than once, but to be honest with you, but this particular time when everything in my life seemed to be spiraling downward, I didn't know where to turn. And I was just learning how to walk by faith and learning how to live in the word and learning how to tithe. I was in my baby stages of learning about spiritual principles and learning how to grow in God. I was attending a church in Little Rock, Arkansas, Agape Country. The pastors were, at that time, were Happy and Jeannie Caldwell. They now are the CEOs of Victory Television Network, the great state of Arkansas, and they own the only Christian television network up to date in Arkansas. But they were extremely dedicated to God. I saw that they loved God. They taught a word that I had never heard growing up, and they taught me about faith. They taught me about tithing. And they taught me biblical principles that I began to live by. And so as they were teaching me, there was an invader that came into my mind that I had never been conscious of before. And it was fear. I began to fear a lot of things, fear of failure, fear of people, fear of noises in the night, all kinds of fear. You know, the Bible says that fear has torment, and it's true. Fear is torturous. It will plague your mind. It will destroy your, it will destroy you. And I ran across this scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7. And it said that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, sound mind, a peaceful state of being, a sound mind, a place where there is no chaos or confusion, a sound mind where you can go into that position of just relaxing and just resting because you know that God is there and that there is nothing that can hurt you or harm you because the Spirit of God is bringing such peace, that Jehovah Shalom that I talked to you about, that Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, our peace. And he comes in the middle of the night and in the middle of your chaos, in the middle of your crisis, and he breathes a word of peace into your soul. What an amazing, amazing God we serve. Amen. An amazing God. And I had to learn how to focus and where to place my thoughts because they were running rapid. And have you heard, had those experiences where there's one negative thought after another and it's about people, places, and things, nothing really that makes any sense about what someone did to you yesterday or even last year or when you were 3 years old. Those thoughts begin to bombard your mind. And when that happens, ladies and gentlemen, there's a place that you can go to bring peace. When you learn how to use the Word of God to settle your soul, yeah, you'll find that those thoughts cannot dominate the rest of your life as they have for those years previously. Now you can shift that and no longer live in that space. In Philippians 4, I want to read that to you today because many of us, we need to be reminded, even if you've read it before, let's come to a place of remembering what the Word of God actually said to us. And I've learned that when you speak the Word of God repeatedly, make it a habit. It is the greatest habit you can have, is to pray the Word of God, speak the Word of God over your life. Oh yes, and some people will say, well, you know, you've been too spiritual. Well, you know what? Let them say whatever it is they want to say, but you keep your mind on the Lord. So let's look at, I want to read a 4 and 4, but I want to read this one first. It's Philippians 4 and 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, there's Jehovah Shalom, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Got to give him some praise. Got to give him some worship. Got to stop to say thank you, Jesus. The peace of God that passes understanding will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to Philippians 4:4, where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. That's from the New King James. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is within reach. How within reach is he? He's right here on the inside of us. The resident God. The very present God. The one who's able to lead, guide, and direct our steps. The one who's able to take us out of this place where we have been living for so long and so lonely and so hurt and so full of confusion and so full of chaos. He says, I'm right here. You see, the moment you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you become a new creature, a new created being. You are a new species of being, if you will, that never existed before. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That excites me. That excites my exciter, that old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I'm a new species of being. I have a new genetic coding. I don't have to operate the way the culture tells me I need to operate. I don't need to respond to negativity the way the world tells me I need to be. Have you ever heard people, someone ask you, and you have, how are you doing? Most people say, fine, I'm doing good. Some people begin to give you this liturgy, this entire list of things that they're going through because they don't know how to respond to in their pain. They don't know how to move out of that place into this place that we're talking about where Jehovah Shalom resides. The state of our emotions dictate to us our future, our outcome. Because whatever we think about, we bring about. Whatever we're meditating upon, we begin to produce, we begin to give life to. God told Joshua in Joshua 1 to meditate upon my word day and night and observe it. Then you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. In Psalms 1, it says, if you are rooted in the word, the way it reads is, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he's going to prosper. The one who's planted in the word of God. When you are planted there, fear cannot dominate your life. Nothing negative can gain entrance and dominate. I didn't say it wouldn't come. The devil does what the devil does when there's an open door. But when it does peep its ugly head, you have the weapons inside the word of God to dictate to fear where to go. Because when fear comes in, it brings all of the other demons with it. Yeah, it brings an army of other things. And it leads to diseases in the body. It leads to mental distress. And people try to take a pill to calm their nerves. I remember I had this family member when I was growing up, and I would hear this person say repeatedly, I need my nerve medicine. I'm a child. I don't even know what nerves are, let alone nerve medicine. But I would hear this repeatedly, need my nerve medicine. And they would drink sodas and smoke packages of cigarettes because they said they were nervous all the time. I didn't understand that then, and I don't get it now. I just know the source of this nervousness, this anxiety, this pain, this attempt to run away from what's on the inside of us. I understand the origin of that thing. But God has graced us with so much mercy and so much goodness that he said, if you will just trust in me, I will take you into a place where you can walk in this earth in spite of the events of the day and have your peace. Yeah, that when the doctor comes in and there's a negative report, that you can have your peace. That when your child doesn't cooperate or your grandchild is not responding to your teaching the gospel the way you thought that they should, you will still have peace. If your son decides that he wants another family called a gang, you'll still have your peace. That regardless of what news comes your way, you will still have peace. I find out that perfect love casts out fear is a truth. That when you are walking in that love of God, which means that you're not looking through the lenses of critics, criticism, and judgment, that you're actually looking through God's lenses, if He'll allow you to do that for just a moment, you will see that He sees nothing but His Son. He sees nothing but His Son. And when He sees Jesus Christ, His Son, He loves His Son. Yeah. But He also loved the world so much that He sacrificed that Son for us so that we will not be victims to the devil's follies anymore. We will not fall prey to the predator, that we will walk in victory because of the finished works of Jesus, that we can stand strong in spite of and regardless of the events of the day. We hear the president and others giving the state of the church, the state of the nation, the state of our emotions dictate the outcome of our day.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because whatever we're thinking about, we are constantly giving birth to, we are constantly bringing to pass in our lives. And I tell, teach people that if you don't like what you're producing, then you are the author. You are the artist. Go back and paint it again. Use thoughts as the artist would a paintbrush, as a Leonardo da Vinci or Michelangelo would use the brush. And begin to use your thoughts to create the life that God intended for you to live. And you do that through the Word of God. Back to the book of Philippians. We read, be anxious for nothing. Why? Because in everything, by prayer in everything, we pray about everything. I remember a colleague telling me one time, oh, you don't have to pray about everything. God gives you common sense. I said, I don't trust my common sense. Are you kidding me? I don't trust my common sense. I trust the Word of God. I want to know. I said, well, you know how to dress. You know how to. I said, you know what? But God knows which dress to dress me in. He knows exactly who I'll be touching today. Maybe He wants me to wear royal blue because I am going to come across someone that just absolutely loves royal blue. He knows. We can plan our day, but God wants to direct our steps. Amen. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What happens after that? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then in verse 8 of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, let's get to the meat of what I'm teaching you. Finally, whatever things are true, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, what's true? What's true? What's true? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then no man can come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can get to God except through Him. So whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are about Him, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatever things are pure, that takes away negative junk already. That takes away the mass media, the negative things that we click on the internet, or the negative things that we turn on our television or the music that we listen to. If there's no purity in it, you're going to end up with anxiety. If you all you listen to is negative news reporting every day, you will end up with a spirit of fear and anxiety. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, you're not talking bad or negative about yourself or anyone else, because whatever comes out of your mouth is going back into your ear, even if you're speaking it against someone else. And I know that's a challenge, because you have family members, you have church members, you have people in your community who want you to help them focus on negative activity. But if you remove yourself from that into good report, you know, when I found out, when you stay in a place where you only want to hear good and you only want to speak good, yes, it is something we have to learn to do. Most people will just stop. They'll stop even telling you things. There's a person whom I love dearly, but I can't have conversations with them without rebuking them the entire time. And I don't mean I rebuke you in Jesus' name, but I mean every time they go down this negative path, I have to turn it around, turn the conversation around, because they have trained themselves over the years to just habitually speak negative about people, about situations, about their lives. They don't just talk bad about others, they talk bad about themselves. So I call and I pray with them, and then I have to remove myself, because they don't know how to walk in this space that I'm talking to you about right now. We have to learn how to walk in that space. If there is any virtue, and if there is anything worthy of praise, if it's worthy of praise, let's keep talking it. If it's noble, if it's true, if it's good, if it's making you feel good, I know that when I begin a conversation and it's not feeling good, I have to back out of it. Ooh. And it may not be that much in my mind, like, oh, they should have said that, or she should have done this. Just something, and you think it's just innocent, or did you hear about this or this person or this ministry, or that, you know? And it may be factual, but it's not conversational for the child of God. Does that make sense, or does that make sense? It's true. It may be factual, but it's not conversational for the child of God, because it's not noble, it's not respectful, it's not honorable. It does not bring goodness, right? James said, in the book of James, it said, you know, bitter and sweet should not come out of the same cistern, out of the same faucet. We can't have these good things and evil things coming out of the same mouth, or we will be walking in fear. Will be the state of our emotions. Everything will cause us anxiety, or it will cause us fear. It will create chaos from inside. And you know, darlings, when there's chaos inside, there is chaos on the outside, right? Because we're creating our environment through our thought life and through our speaking lives. Amen? So he says, if it's praiseworthy, think on these things. Get away from the things that the world wants you to think on. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed, yeah, amen, by the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace, that's Jehovah Shalom. He will be with you. If you will do these things that I've shown you, that I've taught you, that I've introduced to you, if you will do these things, you will see that the God of peace will be right there with you. And isn't that what we need? Isn't that what we want? The God of peace to be right here with us, leading, guiding, and directing our steps. Because God knows we cannot do it alone. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble, but you, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And since he has overcome the world, there is nothing that can separate us from him and from his love. Let's go to the book of Romans. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? Before we do that, that's right. Let's stay in the book of Philippians for a moment. Move with me down to verse 11. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." I've learned how to be content. I've learned how to be happy where I am. He says, "I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can," verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not alone in this walk. I'm not out here by myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's got my back. He's got my front. He's got me. I am so covered by the Lamb of God. I am so covered by the blood of Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And here he is. He's walking us through. He's taking us down this path to let us know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Even though your emotions may be flying off the handle, you're getting angry, throwing dishes, throwing your best, you know, throwing whatever, because you're angry. And that emotion has taken control of your life. And he said, "No, I want to pull you back in, honey. Honey, darling, I want to pull you back in, my son. I want to pull you back in, my darling. I want you to know that that's not my behavior, and that's not the behavior becoming of a born-again child of God." Why? Because a born-again child of God has access to the Word and know that the Word works 100% of the time. And I know people say, "Well, you know, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God. I'm struggling along the way, trying to make it work." And God said, "I took the struggle out through Jesus. I didn't say you're going to have trouble and struggles." He said, "You're going to have troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." You don't have to stay there in that place. You don't have to stay there feeling depressed and feeling like you don't, you know, that the world is on your shoulders. He took it on his so that you don't have to. His yoke is easy. Yeah. His burden is light, easy and light, easy and light, church people, easy and light, world. God wants to take over your life if you will dare let him. He'll do some amazing, some incredible things in your life. He wants to do it, and he wants to do it right now. So the Apostle Paul said, "I know, I get this. I know how to be content now. I know that whatever is happening in my life, it's just a moment. It's just for a moment. It's going to pass. It will come to pass. It has come to pass. Yeah? So you don't have to worry about all of those things that you've been worried about. Remember Matthew, the 6th chapter? And I mentioned this in another teaching, but, you know, the Word of God never gets old and bears to be redundant. We need to be repetitive when it comes to the power of the gospel. When Matthew 4, when Jesus said, "It is written," and in Matthew 6, he tells us to don't worry, to take no thought for our lives. Why? Because we're going to speak the Word of God. We will say, "It is written," in every circumstance, in every situation that tries to creep up, and it will creep because the devil's a creep. It will creep up, but we remember what Jesus said to us. Let's read Colossians for a moment, and then I want us to go to the book of Romans in chapter 8. So we see here in the book of Colossians, I love this, because the Apostle Paul is speaking to this church, and he's reminding them of what is laid up for them in heaven because of the gospel. And then he begins to talk to them about something that has happened that brought them into victory. And he speaks to them about the preeminence of Christ. in verse 9, Colossians 1 and verse 9. He says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." How do we do that? Through his word. As we increase in the knowledge of God, we become fruitful. We'll manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. And then what happens? Fear has no dominion. It doesn't have a residence. It doesn't have access. Don't give the devil access. Remember that grandma song? I remember. Don't let the devil ride, because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Yeah, you want to take over. Don't let him do it, girl. Don't let him do it, son. Don't let him do it, brother. He said, "Filled with the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy." Joy again. We read in Philippians 4, yeah, that there's joy. Then we read here in Colossians 1 and 11, with joy, that we can have joy in our emotions. How about this, that we trade fear, worry, and anxiety for the joy of the Lord? He said, again, giving thanks. There it is again. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us, already delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Wow. Isn't that some kind of wonderful? That we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. When we turn to Jesus, we have turned away from everything the world has and what the devil would try to throw at us. Will become so apparent that we're no longer tricked by the trickster, betrayed by the traitor. We are now locked in with a focus on Jesus Christ. Because in Matthew 6, wow, you can tell that's one of my favorite passages of chapters. Matthew 6, Jesus said to not worry, yeah, to not worry. And in 6 and 33, he said, "Seek ye first." Remember, the first three letters of seek is see. See, see, see when you seek. When you seek, you'll see. Yeah. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," standing right with him. Yeah. "And all of these things shall be added." All of these things, that when you're seeking him, you're righteous. You're right where you belong in him. Because he made us righteousness, made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He gave us access to heaven. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He gave us access to heaven. And because we have access to heaven, we can boldly approach the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Ladies and gentlemen, these are powerful truths that will never be undone. And when we learn how to keep our mind in this place, the behind will follow. I said, wherever the mind, there's the behind. You will find yourself living the life God destined you to live before the foundations of the world. This is good teaching, y'all.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
The 16th verse of Colossians 3 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible." Woo. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him or through him and for him. Everything. So the things that you think you lost, the things that you think are not coming back, remember, Job lost everything that he thought was lost. It looked like it was all gone. His children, the cattle, the real estate, everything was gone in one day. But the end of the story was that God restored to Job more than he had in the beginning. How could God do that? Because God is the creator. Wherever it came, if it came once, it can come again. When I minister to people, often I tell them when they feel like they just, you know, the doctor has given up on them and they just feel like there's no hope, that they have just ruined their lives or they made such huge mistakes that God will never forgive them and there's no redemption for them. And I remind them, I say, if God has ever done it for anybody at any time, he will do it for you. I believe that. If God has been on record as ever healing anyone of stage 4, stage 5 cancer, darling, he will heal you. If he has ever healed anyone from having a bad physical heart, from a heart attack, he will heal you. If he's ever opened any blind eyes before, he will do it again. You see, he's consistent. He's the Lord God. He changes not. He changes not in his character, who he is, and what he wants to do for his created children, new creation children, through the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave us the same rights and access to heaven as he gave his son Jesus. Oh, that still makes me tremble to know that I have the same access to heaven as Jesus does. That I can boldly go into the Holy of Holies, that I can approach him, that he's made me a king and priest unto God the Father. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. He is amazing. The state of our emotional bodies, he wants to shift. He wants to change the way we see the world and to realize we're here to show them Jesus Christ. In Colossians, as we were reading earlier, if you allow me, I want to go back to Colossians. I just feel led to do that right now. Colossians 1 and 16. I'm reading from Colossians 1. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth." All things. "Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence, that in all things he's first. He's the authority. He's the power, because all things came through him. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind, thinking things that were not good, that were not lovely, that were not just, that were not pure, that are not of a good report, there was no virtue, there was no honor in those thoughts that you used to have. Yeah. He has reconciled. Whew! Man, God. He reconciled us. He bought us back and he brought us back. He bought us back. That's the redemption part. He brought us back. That's the reconciliation part. He brought us back and bought us back. He paid the price and then he hand delivered us. That's shouting ground, folks. In the body of his flesh through death, that's where how he did it, to present you holy. Yeah, you're holy. And blameless and above reproach in his sight. And all those thoughts that you're having, telling you that you're a failure, you're nothing, you're nobody, and all those negative vibrations in the head that you're having right now, boom, 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 devil playing tennis in your head, ping pong. No, the word of God says, Jesus paid a price for your sanity and peace. He paid the price, and no demon in hell can undo that price. Yeah. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, you are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't you move away from this gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He said, I'm here to fulfill the word. You're here to fulfill the word, to manifest that what is written is alive, because the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of that of the only begotten of the Father, says St. John 1. This is the living word that is manifesting in our everyday life. And when you speak the word out of your mouth, you are speaking it into the atmosphere. Oh, I know. Confession seems to not be popular anymore, but I'm telling you, when you speak the word of God out of your mouth, you are being God's voice in the earth. The devil hears what you're saying, and all of hell knows that they've got the backup. They got to do exactly what the devil did when Jesus was in the wilderness. He had to leave. He had to pack up. He had to get out of the desert because the word had been spoken. It's, I always say, when Jesus spoke it, it was the word speaking the word. How powerful. How powerful. Because no man ever spoke a word like he spoke, because he was the manifested word of God in the earth. And the Lord said, now you be the manifested word in the earth. You speak it out of your mouth. There is power. You may think you're powerless. You may think that it doesn't matter, that you're not a preacher, you're not a minister. If you speak it, it doesn't matter. The devil won't hear you. You got to go find a prophet in order to prophesy something to you for it to be real. No, darlings, the Bible is your prophetic utterance from God. The Bible is the word of God. It is the logos until you speak it out of your mouth and you continue to speak it. When you speak it, it becomes rhema. Then he said, I want you to become a living epistle known and read of all men. And then I go into the place and then you become a revelator. you begin to revelate what the Spirit of God is saying, because he'll take you into deeper depths of what John 3:16 really means, so that you can see yourself as born of the Father's DNA, that you're no longer of that old blood genetic coding, that you got new genes on the inside of you, and that you can operate from a different place, not from a place of fear or timidity, not from a place of worry, not from a place of competition, or you feel like somebody's going to get your stuff. No, listen, my daddy says this, still says this, and at first I didn't understand it. If somebody stole something from him, he was a contractor, and people would steal equipment and steal stuff. They would steal stuff in the name of borrow, and they would steal stuff. And they said, oh, I'll go get it. If they don't bring it back, you know, that's on them. If they took it, then maybe they needed it more than I did. And sure enough, he'll get something else. He'll get it again. And it was just the way he chooses to live his life. He'll just go get another one, because he wouldn't get stressed over people taking things from him. You know, and there's a lesson in that. Why get stressed over something leaving when you know there's so much more? So much more. So the one who created all things brings it right back to you. I like this passage. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is hallelujah, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How can fear live on the inside of the same vessel where Christ is living? As a born-again child of God, you have Christ in you. You got born again. Your spirit got born again, but your mind did not. It has to be renewed to the word of God. And your body must adopt itself, be adopted to that word. Because again, wherever your mind goes, there's the behind will follow. So you get your mind focused in on Jesus and allow yourself to stay in that place of repeating the word of God every day. Pray it over your life every day. Pray it over your family. Pray it over your communities. Pray it over your businesses, your ministries. You pray the word of God. The devil doesn't understand. I rebuke you, Satan. You know, that may sound spiritual, but you need to put some word upside his head. Amen. You need to let the devil know that you know what the Bible says. That's what Jesus did. That's how you rebuke. I rebuke you, devil, is not a word you use. It is an action you take. Yeah, that's good. It's not a word you use. It's an action you take. Saying, I rebuke you, Satan, is not effective. It's, what are you rebuking him with? You rebuke him with the word of God. He tells you that you're sick. You said, no. Matthew 8:17 says, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Yes, he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. You tell him. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their diseases. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases. It needs to become part of your vocabulary. It needs to be your vocabulary. Yeah? So that you are speaking God's word over your life repeatedly. You see, if you're not speaking God's word, other people are not speaking God's word over you. So what's happening? You're getting caught up in the chaos, in the confusion, in the fear and the anxiety. So Paul says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, free of fear. Free of fear. And in Colossians 2, I want to read the scripture because it is so encouraging. And when you hear it, and you've heard it before, you heard it before. But I want to share it with you now. It is so powerful. He says, as you therefore, in verse 9, so much good stuff before that, but I'm going to read it, Colossians 2 and verse 6, the other 9 upside down, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. People ask you, did you see the news today? Nope, didn't see that news, but I can tell you some news. I can give you some good news. This news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. What's going on in the world? Tell them what's going on in the word. Not only do it for yourself, but do it for them. Remind other Christians that it's time to speak the word over your communities, over whatever's going on in your community. Write a prayer with nothing but scripture in it concerning your communities. You should have a prayer list. Yeah, your prayer list should be prayers that you are praying over your communities, over your ministry, over your business, over your family, over your lives, whatever it is, you pray, because somebody better be praying this word over you. Verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Woo! Yeah, because we're not wrestling against principality. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Yeah. So we need to know how to deal with that. Yeah. How do we deal? Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Yeah. Yeah. So we need to know that these weapons that we're using are doing what God sent them here to do. And it is the word of God that is working on our behalf. As we continue to read this, I want to read, let me skip them. I've got to, because I read the entire book and we don't have that level of time here. He says that we are buried with him in baptism in verse 12, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Already forgiven. You're already forgiven. Just acknowledge it. Lord Jesus, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. This is what he did. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I always like to say he put a beat down on the devil, and the devil never recovered. The only way Satan has an advantage is when we say he does. We have to give the devil permission to ride, to take authority. When we see him as a power source, then he becomes one. Yeah, because Jesus, that used to puzzle me, that why are we constantly rebuking the devil? Yeah. Why are we constantly rebuking the devil when we've got God in us, the creator inside of us? So the mind is the battleground. I remember Sister Joyce Myers teaching that many years ago, and she wrote a little book, and I think, oh, I know, so many people were buying that book, The Battlefield of the Mind or something like that. What an awesome little tool, because that one little tool can transform your life. When you get that down, that's where the playground is. That's where the battlefield is. And if you can work, get the word of God to work inside of your head, in your thought life, in your speaking life, it will be working in your life. And I'll not stop teaching and preaching this, because it is the truth. And it is what makes people free. There are no substitute for it. There is no hypnosis, there's no therapy, there is nothing. Believe me, if there were, we would know about it. But there's not. I've been introduced to all of those forms of healing, but I know that the only way to be truly delivered and to truly heal is through the blood of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. It looks like I'm running out of time on this one, but I'll be back with more on these teachings, because it's time for us to deal with the state of our emotions and put them back on course with what God intended for them to be used for, not for feeling afraid or having anxiety attacks or being worried, but having peace that passes understanding. Father, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity that we have to bring forth a word of healing and deliverance in such a time as this. We thank you, Lord, that we are alive and that we can breathe and be a partaker of your divine nature in the earth today. Thank you, Father God, that you have opened the hearts of your people to receive this word, and that you will think through their minds the unadulterated word of God. And for those who don't know you, Jesus, that they will accept you as their Lord and Savior and find a Bible-believing church that's teaching the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ and fellowship with that family. Until next time, God bless you.